Begin the current daf, Masechtas Chulin daf Nun Beis. Begin 10 lines down with the top of the Yavit, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf, and that is one of the Yudchas Trefis, the 18 Trefis that we mentioned in the Mishnah, and an animal is Nefula. The animal falls off the roof, which that happens at the Risuke Vorm, there's the shaking up of the limbs. So that the Gemara continued and related by an oif, by a bird, if it also hits and impacts something, it has the same qualification as the Trefa. And that other Gemara was discussing different elements, if it bangs into it, if that would qualify as Risuke Varm or not. So that the Gemara continues says Dibuk, which is glue, which is that they would smear to trap the bird, put a little glue on a small board, and the bird would rest on it and get stuck to it. And then it would try flying away with the bird, with the board stuck to it, and then it would come crashing down to the ground. So when it does that, is that Risuke Varm or not? So says the Gemara, Machlekes Rav Ashi Shari says it's permitted. And Meimar Asri says it's forbidden. Now the Gemara qualifies the Machlekes and says, Bechad Gapa, if the bird only got attached to the board with one of its wings and it could fly with the other one, the Kul Amalei Pligin the Shari. So no one's going to disagree that it's still going to be permitted because it could still maintain balance, that it's not going to come crashing down, that it's going to totally demolish the bird by its limbs. Ki Pligi betray Gapi. The machlekes was when it's attached to the glue on the board with two of its wings. Manda asar malach, the one who says it's forbidden, is going to tell you, well, hechanekim, how exactly could it maintain itself? How could it carry itself? Obviously, when it's falling, it's totally falling head first, crashing where it can't control itself, and therefore it's going to be risik ivar. But a manda sharia malach, the one who permits it, would tell you, no, efshar denekim, ma'ikvig degapi, it could maintain itself a little bit and carry itself with the edges of its wings, which is the tip of where the feathers attach themselves, where when they detach it from the bird, where since it has, although the tip of its feathers is stuck to the glue, but the rest of its wing is still free, still liberated a little bit, and therefore it could still balance itself even if there's the two of them that are connected to the glue, and therefore he says it's not going to be a problem of risik ivar. Now that was the first version. Vigadarmi, then those that say the other way around. Betray gapi kulam alipligidasa. No, when both wings are attached to the glue, no one's going to disagree that it's going to be forbidden because it just totally can't carry itself and it comes crashing down. Ki pligi b'chad gapa. The machlekes is even in one wing. Man de sharia malach, the one who permits it, will tell you, well, efshar deparach b'chad gapa, it could still fly with one wing and therefore it's not going to come crashing down, and when it finally lands, it's not risik ivar. But Amanda also, when it says forbidden, he says, no, kiven the Baha'i le matzi parach, since it can't fly with the wing that's attached to the board, Baha'i nami le matzi parach, it also affects the equilibrium of the other wing, and therefore it's not flying at all, and therefore it's going to be risik ivar. And says the Gemara, behilchas ad halacha is, betray gapi aser, if both wings were attached to the board, then the bird is forbidden, unless, as Rashi points out, if it gets up and walks, like we said by Behema, then that takes care of the problem about risik ivar. But b'chad gapi shari, but with one wing, it's permitted. Now Rashi brings from the Bahag, from the Halachas Gedailis, that in all these halachas that we require bedika inspecting, for example, this halacha of nefulu when it falls, or shru when it breaks, or when it's drus when it's clawed, which we validate it when it's checked, so that the Bahag says that's in earlier generations which they were proficient in this inspection, but as they were not, we cannot rely on this. Where Rashi, however, brings that no, a halacha that's called ein ladayin elamasha ein avroyis, every generation, the judges go with what they see, and you could rely on this inspection, like the pasuk says in Devarim Yedzayin, "V'lashev Rashiya b'yamam v'mahem." Every judge in his generation, we rely on that, but it should be very careful, and they should bring all the butchers and all those that are proficient in this area to come and check it out, so that it comes out in an appropriate validation, but it could still be permitted. Now the Gemara continues with the next halach of the Mishnah, which nishtabru roiv tzla sehor. Most of the ribs of the rib cage had broken, that's also going to be one of the treifas of making an animal that's considered a mortal defect that's not kosher to eat. So the Gemara brings the Tanna of Braisa that elaborates on this halacha. Elohein roiv tzlois, says the Braisa, so these are what would be qualified as the majority of the ribs that are broken to make it into a treifa, because there are 22 large ribs that have marrow in it, because there are other ones that don't, which we're going to shortly qualify, that an animal has. 11 ribs on one side, 11 ribs on the other side, which thus the majority to make it a treifa, if it's broken, would be 12. So therefore says the Braisa, this would be Shesh Mekan v'Shesh Mekan, if you have 6 on one side, 6 on the other side, Ayachas Aser Mekan v'Achas Mekan, or even if you take 11 from one side and 1 from the other side, however you get to the number 12, that's already the majority of the ribs, and that would make the animal into a treifa. Now,
However, Amaziri, he qualifies and he says, but you need to have that these 12 ribs that are broken, that they are mechetz in kalapi shedra.
The half of it that's broken has to be from that which is the half that's closer to the spine, because that's where the life source is, and not the half that's facing further away, which is towards the chest area, which that's how the rib cage goes, starting from the spine, has to be the half that's closer to the spine. Moreover, as we mentioned before, Omer Rabba Babachan Omer Biyechanan, he says, Ubitzlois gedoyla shesh ben mayach. This, I was saying, the majority of the ribs have to break. We're talking specifically the large ribs, which have marrow inside, which have the nerve tissue inside, in contrast to the other four that they don't have this mayach inside, they wouldn't qualify with this halacha of the majority being broken to make it into a trefa. Now, continuing on this halacha, Zama Ula, he says, Ben Zakai Amar, Trashi says, doesn't know who this is, Ben Zakai, he says as follows, he says, if nekru, if the ribs are being uprooted, totally pulled out, then beroiv tzad echad. Then, as long as you have the majority of one side, meaning we said on each side there's 11, so majority of one side is 6 of them, that's already going to make the animal into a treifa. However, the halacha we were talking about in the Mishnah was nishtabru, if they break, not totally uprooted. Then the treif is only going to be if 12 of them break, which that is, like we said, beroiv shnei tzadin, the majority of both sides, which is that of that's going to be of 12, meaning if you have to each side's majority, which is 6, 6 and 6 is 12, that makes it into a treifa. Now, Rabbi Yechonamar, he says, no, bein nekru, bein nishtabu, whether if it was uprooted or if it was broken, it's still bereiv shnei tzadin, it has to have the majority of both sides, which again, each side has 11, majority of each is 6, plus 6 of two sides would be 12. Now, continuing on these halachas, Amar Rav, he says, nekrit tzela, if a rib gets uprooted, v'chulyeima, with the vertebrae with it, which that's how the ribs are attached to the spine. There's vertebrae in the spine, going up the spine. So even if the spinal cord is intact, because we said if that's severed, then the animal's a treifa for that itself. No, the spinal cord is intact, but the rib comes off with its vertebrae, then treifa, the animal's a treifa. Now, on this halacha, Amrilei Rav Kahana Ravasi L'Rav, they asked him, let's say nekra tzela mikan v'tzela mikan. Let's say that you have a rib which is uprooted from one side, and then corollary on the other side, because that's how the rib cage works. You have on they match each other on the left side and the right side. On the exact opposite side, the rib comes out, but v'chuli kayemes. However, the vertebrae is intact, which each one of them connect into the vertebrae in the spine. Ma wada halacha be in that case. So Rav said to them, Gistru Kamrisu? You're talking about a case of an animal that was Gistru means like split in half. An animal that was split in half in the middle, you can ask me such a question? You asking me about Trefa? It's even more than that. The animal's already dead. It's already considered like a nevela, as we said this in the first paragraph of Chaval from an Aleph. So what's your question? Of course that would be, it's not even a Trefa, it's more than that. It's already considered like a dead animal once it's already cut in half, because it's literally cut in half by its rib cage. On both sides missing, it's like as if that part is cut in half. Now, on that is the Gemara, but Rav Nami Gistra Kama. But what do I mean, Rav himself was talking about a case of Gistra, because he said a case of if the rib with the vertebrae gets pulled out with it. So automatically, if the vertebrae is coming out, so then the rib on the other side obviously is falling out because the way it's connected is into the vertebrae. So if the vertebrae is coming out with the rib on one side, obviously the rib on the other side is also coming out. So he's asking, his case was even more than theirs. They were asking, let's say the vertebrae is intact, but the ribs on each side it came out, so he says that's nevela. But Rav himself, who says even more than that, where he's saying that inevitably both ribs are coming out and the vertebrae, and he was only calling it a treifa and not a nevela. Says the Gemara, no, kikama Rav. Rav's case was talking about tzela b'loy cholya. He was talking about when only the rib comes out without the vertebrae. That is the Gemara, but v'tzela b'choly kama. He explicitly said that it was with the rib with the vertebrae. That says the Gemara, no, tzela v'chatzi chulya. His case was that, yes, the rib with, however, half the vertebrae. However, the rib on the other side, this explains why it's different than the case that was asked of him, where that could still stay inside the vertebrae because there's two halves of it, which is connecting to the left ribs and into the right ribs. So therefore, Rav was talking about that the chulya was not totally removed. It was half of it that was removed. It was the half that the rib on one side is attached to. That's what he said, that if the rib comes out with half of the vertebrae, that is going to make it into a trefa. But if both ribs are missing, even if the chulya is intact, the vertebrae is intact, that's going to make the animal to gistra, and that's going to actually make it into the nevela, because it's like literally split in half. However, the Gemara now asks as follows. So machlal, the inference is Rav Kahana v'Rav Asi. So must be that the question they had asked of Rav was Sela, when they had said that when you have a rib on one side and the rib on the other side that fell out, must have been b'loy chul yamri, must have been without the vertebrae, meaning the whole vertebrae is intact. Because if they were talking about that the rib with some of the vertebrae had came out, and on both sides, what do you mean? They already heard Rav who said that even one rib coming out with some of the vertebrae is going to make it into a trefa. And they're going to ask now, what's if both ribs with some of the vertebrae comes out? Obviously, that's going to be a trefa. Then rather must be, like the Gemara is telling us, that their question wasn't that. No, let's say only the ribs come out, but not the vertebrae. The vertebrae is still intact. And v'amalahu, and as we explained, so, and what did Rav respond to that? That gistu kamritu, what you're asking me about an animal that's split in half, meaning that he was saying, forget about trefa, it's even an avela. As we had explained this up until now, but now the Gemara asked the question. But v'ama ula, but we had mentioned before that ula said, ben zaki amar, that ben zaki said, that if nekru, if a rib is not just broken, but it gets uprooted. So then he said, b'roiv tzad echad. We evaluate that by the number of what would be the majority of one side of the ribs, meaning to say six ribs coming out would make the animal into a trefa. And neshtabru, if they were only broken, then b'roiv shneid stud, and then you need the majority of both sides, which would be the number of 12. But one thing we see is that even by nekru, even when it gets uprooted, we need to have the majority to make it into a trefa. For sure, when we have only one, that's not going to make it into nevela. However, how do we understand this with what Rav was telling them? Rav was telling them when you have only two, you have one on either side, without the chulia is still intact, it's going to make it into a trefa. Yet here we see clearly from Ben Zakkai that no, you need to have at least six to make it into a nevela, to make it into a trefa. So in that amalach, Rav would tell you that no, hasam zesh lekeneged zeh. There, by Ben Zakkai, was when the six are not opposite each other. Because you have a total of 22 where you could play around with, and it could be not opposite the other one. This case of what they were asking from Rav, Rav Khan and Rav Asi, was one opposite the other. One opposite the other, that's literally splitting the animal in half, so that's going to make it into a nevela. But for the halacha ben zakai, yeah, it's not going to be even the trefa unless you have six, because again, they're not opposite each other, so they're not splitting the animal in half. However, so that resolves the question from ben zakai. But Valmer Rabbi Yechanan, but then there was a dispute. Rabbi Yechanan, however, said even nekri, even if the ribs is uprooted, not just broken, it's not going to be a trefa, until you have Berev Shneid Staden, until you have the majority of both sides, which that's a number of 12. Now, on that says the Gemara, Uberev Shneid Staden, now the majority of both sides, meaning if you're going to count and that you uprooted, that you ripped out six ribs from the right side and six from the left side, even if you're going to say that those on one side are one end of the spine towards the neck, and the other side is those on the other end of the spine towards the tail part, but EF should delay kaimachad minayu. It's not possible that you can have at least one of them, meaning if even in the most extreme case, that the middle one shouldn't be ze keneged ze, one opposite the other. You're going to have that at least two ribs in that number of 12 that are going to be opposite each other. And even so, Rabbi Yochanan requires a majority to be ripped out to be a trefa. And for sure, if there's just one, that's not going to be a nevela. That contradicts what Rav was telling them, that he's considering a nevela. If you have these two ribs opposite each other, that it's going to be a nevela. Meaning, and the question is specifically now, because we understand initially, we would say, when we explain the halach of Rav, we assumed, like his words were telling us, that he was saying if the rib with the whole vertebrae comes out, then it's going to be a trefa. And on that, we had thought that Rav Khan and Rav Asi were asking, well, what's if you have a rib and some of the vertebrae on one side, and so too the rib and some of the vertebrae on the other side, but the middle of the vertebrae is still intact, That would be their question. And then they said, oh, both sides are missing. Oh, that's even if the vertebrae in the middle is still there. And we could understand their question because Rav was saying all of the vertebrae is missing. That's a trefa. They were asking, let's say not all of the vertebrae is missing. Let's say some of it is missing on both sides with the ribs. And then he said, you're right, I hear what your question is, but no, that actually would be worse. That would even be in the vela. But now that we explain Rav that his halacha is not that the rib with all of the vertebrae is missing. No, we said that his halacha was only the rib with some of the vertebrae. So we explained, so then what was their question? Obviously their question was that it was the ribs without the vertebrae missing. And on that still Rav had responded, Gistru Kamritu, that he said it's in the vela. So that's most definitely difficult with the halacha of Rabbi Yechanan, because Rabbi Yechanan is also talking about when the vertebrae is intact. And still he says that you need to have the majority of them ripped out. That's not like what Rav told them, that it's actually going to be even in the vela when you have just two of them missing. Even though Rabbi Yechanan is also talking about when you have zeh keneged zeh. So that answers the Gemara, it's still not difficult. Hasam over there, Rabbi Yechanan, is buchna b'loy asisa. Is we have, literally it means the pestle without the mortar, which was what they used in Talmudic times to crush spices. What it means to say in the metaphor is that we're talking about that there's, in Rabbi Yechanan's halacha, that it's only the ribs that are missing without any of the vertebrae. And that is because what happened is that you have the it's coming out from the vertebrae, which is where the rib is stuck into. However, it's not missing any of the vertebrae. Hacha, however, here in the case of Rav Kahana and Rav Asi, that Rav was responding to was buchno ve'asisa, was the mortar with this pestle, meaning to say that it's not just ripping out the rib, it's also going to be half or some of the vertebrae is coming out with it, and therefore that's in the case of zeke neged zeh, that it's going to make it into gistri. Right, Rabbi Yechanan, who was even in the case of zeke neged zeh, because in 12 you're going to have at least one that's opposite the other, but it's not missing any of the vertebrae, and therefore, it's only a trefa with the majority. But if it's missing some of the vertebrae, then that's going to be nevela if it's zeke neged zeh. But now the Gemara goes back. Ihachi, if that's the case, that they're discussing over here, halacha of Rav Kahana Rav Asi, we're talking about that it's a rib with some of the vertebrae. Well, hainu derav. Well, then that's exactly the case that Rav was talking about, as we explained, that he says even if one rib with some of the vertebrae is missing, it's a trefa. So what were they asking him now? If both, each rib on each side is missing the rib with some of the vertebrae, of course, Rav said that it's a trefa with even one rib and some of its vertebrae. So says the Gemara, Leishmi Luhu Rav. They didn't hear this teaching of Rav. Right, of course they would have known that. As we explained, Rav's teaching was specifically with some of the vertebrae, not all the vertebrae, and even though he said it's a trefa, and they were asking him both, and as we explained, with some of the vertebrae, to explain, to resolve the contradiction we just asked before from Rabbi Yechanan. However, they didn't hear his teaching, that's why they asked it. But not asked the Gemara, but if that's the case, then why didn't they at least ask him of Rav, like Rav's own teaching, which they hadn't heard yet, but when it's one rib with some of the vertebrae, because they never heard that halacha of him, why are they asking with two? Let them start from the first, say, well, what's if one with one vertebrae, which is actually trefa, and they didn't know, and they're asking already two ribs with the vertebrae. So Savri, they thought as follows, let's ask of Rav one question, the partial entirety, which will resolve for us two questions, as follows, if we're going to ask from him the case of only one rib missing with some of its vertebrae, so Hanicha I amalan trefa. So it's going to take care of all our questions if he tells us that it's going to be a trefa. So kolshka entirety. So of course we'll know if two ribs with some of the vertebrae. Of course it's going to be a trefa. However, I amalan sherib is going to tell us that if it's only one rib with some of the vertebrae, that it's kosher. Akati tarti coming by lan. We're still going to have a question. Oh, what's the halacha if you have two ribs with some of the vertebrae? That maybe that's worse, and we're not going to have the answer. And now, so therefore we asked him regarding two that will know the answer. But that is the Gemara, but now you have the problem the opposite way. Hashtanami, the Kabbalim, and the Tarti, now they're going to ask him the question as they did regarding two. Well, Hanichi Amalu Gzera, that only works if he says that it's kosher, where even if two ribs with some of the vertebrae, well, kosher can chad. Of course, now you'll know the other one. If it's only missing one rib with some of the vertebrae, of course it's going to be kosher.
But Ve'i Amaluhu Treifa, but Ibi's going to tell them Treifa, Akati Chadim Ibayilu. They're still going to have a question. Okay, maybe two is Treif, but maybe one is Kasher. So how is that better than asking them if regarding one? So says the Gemara, Savri, they thought, from Rav's response, we'll be able to figure out by our question of two, what the halacha would be by one. Because if he's going to tell us that it's kasher, when even two ribs are missing with some of the vertebrae, so of course, then even one is going to be kasher. If he's going to tell us by the case of two that it's treif, but he's going to say without anger, so we'll be able to resolve, okay, if he's not saying with anger, that means to say, yeah, by two missing, then it's treif, but by one missing, then it's going to be kasher. Because if he held that even by one missing with the vertebrae is going to be treif. So then when we're going to ask him a question regarding two, imkein mirtach karasach, then he'll get angry at us and he'll tell us, wait a second, you're asking me regarding two? Chad the treif, if even one rib is missing with some of the vertebrae, it's treif. Tarat mi bayir, are you going to even ask regarding two? Now, therefore, that's how they figured they'll get the answer by asking by two. However, as Rashi explains, if they would ask from him regarding one rib, even if he would hold that not only is one kasher, but even two is kasher, he still wouldn't respond with anger to say, hey, you ask me if one's kasher, even two is kasher, because that wouldn't bother him as much if we would think it's treif, because you wouldn't be doing anything wrong. But thinking something's kasher that it's not, that is a problem, because you're going to be doing something wrong. So therefore, that's why they asked him regarding two and not one. However, the Gemara asks on their plan, But that's exactly what they did. They asked him the question regarding two ribs with some of the vertebrae, and he actually held, as we had quoted as halacha, which they didn't know of, that even with one it's treif, as Rav had said, nekrit selim chuyima, which we explained doesn't mean the whole vertebrae, it means some of the vertebrae, that it's treif, and still, v'lo rosach, he didn't respond to them in anger that they should be able to resolve and say, hey, if he's getting angry at us with two, for sure one's going to be treif. He didn't. So how did they know that even one is going to be treif? Says the Gemara, no, Kivin the Kamalahu, since he said to them, Gistr Kamritu, in like wonderment, what, you can ask me regarding when it's cut in half? Hainu Rizchi, that was the equivalent of him getting angry. That's what he was telling them. No, you shouldn't be asking this question. Two? That's even an Avela. Your question should be, which would be the lower level of a problem of Trefa, that would apply even if one rib is missing with some of the vertebrae, which that was the teaching of Rav. Now, this was all Rav's teaching. Now, Amar Rabba Barav Shilo, Amar Rav Masna, Amar Shmuel, he says a different teaching in the name of Shmuel. Nekrit Sela Mi'ikara. If a rib gets uprooted from its source, which Rashi explains means to say even without the socket, means to say just the rib, but it was Nekra, get uprooted, not just breaking, or a different halacha. V'gulgayla Shenechvasa Beruba, or the skull that got smashed in the majority, but none of it is missing. Or basar achifes reva keres berubay, or of the majority of that flesh that covers the majority of the stomach area called the viscera, if that has a problem, so then treifa, any one of these halachas are going to make the animal into a treifa. Now the Gemara discusses the teachings of Shmuel. Nekrit selam ikar treifa. Shmuel said that if one rib gets ripped out from its source, it's going to make the animal into a treifa. That is the Gemara, but Reminu seems to be contradictory from the Mishnah Masechtas Alos. As we continue to the days, the Mishnah tells us, Kama chesaron b'shadra. How much is considered a deficiency in the spine, which it's only an intact spine that will transmit tumah na'ayil without flesh? What's considered a deficiency that it's not intact anymore? So b'shami aymim, they say shtei chulyas, if two vertebrae are missing. B'shulamim chulyachas, they say even if one vertebrae is missing. No. That's regarding the laws of Tumas Ayel. But Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel, Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, who we're discussing his teaching, he says, V'chein le'treifa. The same halacha has applications in the laws of treifa regarding considering this animal with a mortal defect. According to Basil, it's a treifa if even one vertebrae is missing. But one thing you see that according to Shmuel, it's uprooting of the vertebrae that makes it into treifa, and not uprooting the rib. So how could Shmuel say, by being oiker one cell is going to make it a treifa when you see it has to be the vertebrae? So that says the Gemara, it's not difficult. Hacha, the first teaching of Shmuel is tselem lechulia, is uprooting of the rib without the vertebrae. Hasam chulia b'lei tselem, and that halacha that we just quoted now is the vertebrae without the rib. Yeah, either one would make it into a treva. But that is the Gemara, bishlem tselem lechulia mishkacha, so we understand how the rib could be uprooted without the vertebrae, because the vertebrae is connected to the spine, and the ribs are attached to the vertebrae, but the rib could be pulled out from the vertebrae.
How could you have the vertebrae missing without the rib? Automatically, the way that a rib is connected to the animal is in the vertebrae. If the vertebrae is missing, of course the rib is missing. How can you have the chuli b'lei tzela? Says the Gemara, b'shili kafli. You could have this on the bottom of the spine by the lumbar region, which many people have lower back pain, where there is vertebrae without any ribs. And therefore, that's how you have tzela b'lei chuli. Now the Gemara, however, continues on the second teaching of Shmuel and says, "Maskev l'Ravishi." Rishi asks, if it's really true that that machlekes in Mishnah Masechet Olos, like Shmuel had said, has applications even regarding the laws of tarfas, of an animal having a mortal defect, well then, v'lasanye, then that Mishnah should have been taught in Masechet Idyos, which over there it counts all the leniencies of the school of Shammai and the stringencies of the school of Beis Hillel, because usually it's Bishil that's Mekel and Bisham that's Machmer. It should say, Gabikula Bisham v'chom Bishil, by the leniencies of Bisham and the stringencies of Beis Hill, because in the laws of Tarfis, Bisham is being lenient, because they say the animal's not a Treviyan until it's missing two Chulyas. So if that's true the way Shmuel says it, why doesn't it say over there in Idyos on that list? On that, Amalei, and the Gir says, Rava says to him, no, Ki Itzchel, when this was asked regarding what's considered a deficiency in the spine of an animal in the Beis HaMedrash, Le'inyu Tuma Itzchel, it was asked regarding the context of Tumas Oil, how much would be considered deficiency that it's not going to transmit Tumas Oil anymore. And in that context, the Havalu Bisham Al-Khumra, Bisham was astringency. Yeah, it could have lenient applications, but that wasn't where it was brought the exact Machlekes, and if it's not mentioned within the listing of the Mishnah Masechet Zedis. Now Shmuel also taught the next halacha, a skull that's smashed, again, it's still intact, but it's banged in its majority, that's going to make the animal into a treifa. Now, Bayer Bimir asked, when we say the majority, is it Rav Gaiva? Is the majority of the height of the skull, meaning from the eyes going up? Or Rav Hekev, or is the majority of the circumference, which is even bigger than the majority of the height? So, if you want to take it, let it stand. It's not clear what majority we're referring to when we're talking about the smashing of the skull. Shmuel then said his third halacha, Ubasa achifa reba keres berubai, that the flesh that covers the majority of the stomach, I mean the bottom part of the animal, for going from the top to the bottom to the thighs, that if the majority of it has a problem, that's going to be a treifa. Now, by Rav Ashi asked, what problem are we talking about? Berev karua, if the majority of it is torn, and for sure if the majority of it is totally taken away, a bereiv natal, or is only if the majority of it is taken away, but if the majority of it is torn, it's not going to make it into a treifa. Says the Gemara, Tifshalei, let's resolve it that even by Rav Karua, even the majority of it being torn is a problem, but it's not from the halacha of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Keres ha-panimi shenikva. If the inner paunch, the inner stomach, gets torn, that's going to, it has, nikva has a hole, that's going to make it into a treifa. Oy shenikra v'chetzayna, or if the outer paunch has the majority of it torn, that's going to make it into a treifa. So you see that the keres hachitzayna is treifa by majority of it being torn. Now, v'ami b'marav mishmeid Rabbi Yisrael b'chanina, what is the keres hachitzayna? So in the West, they said in the name of Rabbi Yisrael b'chanina, kol ha-keres kulay, the whole paunch itself, which is the first stomach of the four stomachs of the ruminant, zui keres ha-panimi. That's what's known as in the halacha, the mishnah of the inner paunch, which is treif even by having just a hole. Now, what is the outer stomach, the outer paunch, which is, if the majority of it is torn, that's basar chayfas, reva keres, that's the flesh which covers the majority of the stomach. But one thing you see is that's the same halacha, that's the same case that Shmuel's talking about, and you see that what makes it into a treifa, the majority of it being torn, and it doesn't have to be taken away. That's just the Gemara, midhu taima, is this a reasoning? The whole question that we were asking regarding is it a treifa by a majority of it being torn, or does it require a majority of it being taken away? That was Ela L'Shmuel. We were asking it to Shmuel because he's the one that said the teaching that we quoted before, all those teachings, and the third one was regarding the halacha of basa chayfa reva keres berubai. Now Shmuel doesn't explain the halacha of our Mishnah like they said in the West. Rather, because Hachi Amar Rabbi Yaakov Bar Nachmani Amar Shmuel, Shmuel gives a different definition. He says, you know what's considered the keres hachitzayna? It's not this flesh that we're talking about, basar chayfas reva keres. It's makam she'im bei melis. It's the place that doesn't have this woolly hair in the stomach. That's in the keres itself. That's in the paunch itself. Shmuel himself adds onto the laws of treifas the basar hachayfa
on the laws of the Mishnah, which the Mishnah doesn't mention, because that's a tradition he had, that's one of the treifas, and that's what he's quoting here in this halacha. The Tanya of the Mishnah includes it, as we said in the previous daf, in the Zeh'aklal, but therefore you can't resolve it from the halacha of a Mishnah regarding the Keres HaChetzayna, that says Nikar Beruba, because he doesn't learn that it's referring to the Basa Chayfa. He learns it to something else. He learns it that it's regarding the part of the stomach that doesn't have this Melas, and therefore there's no proof from the halacha of a Mishnah to resolve this halacha of Shmuel. Was it Rav Karua, or was it specifically Rav Nital? The Gemara continues with the halacha of a Mishnah that said, continuing on the Yudches Treifas, this is a drusus hazev. If an animal was clawed by a wolf, that makes the animal into a treifa, because there's an assumption, and that was the discussion regarding in the Gemara, that talking about certain animals had this type of poison in their claws, in the animal itself, and for the discussion, that's what it's assuming, that they have this poison, therefore by a wolf that claws an animal, this poison is going to go into the animal and make it into a treifa, it's going to kill the animal. Now, Amar Rav Yehuda Merav, he says, Bibehema, when we're talking about an animal victim, it's min hazeb ulamala. Specifically from a wolf and bigger, would make the animal that was clawed into a drusa. And that would include a wolf. But smaller than a wolf, then those animals don't have poison that's strong enough to kill an animal. Rather, it could kill birds, but not an animal. And the Ba'ifis, regarding the qualification of making a bird into a nidrus, into an animal that was clawed, that's a trefa, is minanetu lamala. It's from the bird that's what's called a netz, and bigger, has the strength to claw a fellow bird. Now, says the Gemara, these two qualifications of Rav, lamute ma, where does it come to exclude? Ilem lamute chatul, if you're saying this, that you're saying that a wolf could make an animal into a drusa, but that would exclude a cat. But Tanina, we already learned that. That's what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says, Udrusa Sazev. Obviously, if it picks a wolf, it's telling us only that and bigger, and not a cat. So that says the Gemara, V'chitem. And if you're going to say that, no, if we didn't have the teaching of Rav, so I would have said that really, no. Even a cat could also make an animal into a drusa, but what type of an animal? A daka, small animal, small livestock. And our Mishnah, Ha'kamash Malon, because our Mishnah was telling us that when it was talking about the Ze'ev, when it was talking about a wolf, was Begasa Namidaris, was coming to tell us that no, because it's coming to tell us that even by a large animal, a wolf can make it into a drusa. But maybe really, without Rav, I would say that a cat could make an animal a drusa if it's small animals. But that's the thing more, you can't say that because of Atzinan. We learn in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda, I mean, he says, Drusa Sazev Bedaka. The clawing of the wolf actually only works for small livestock. But drusas aribagas, it's only the clawing of like a lion that works for large animals. So even without Rav, the difficulty is, of course we know this from the halacha of Mishnah. Even a wolf is only by small animals. And obviously we're excluding a cat even from small animals. Now, and v'chitam, if you're going to say that no, Rabbi Yehuda miflek palik, Rabbi Yehuda disputes the Tanna Kamma, and therefore we could still explain the Tanna Kamma that we needed Rav for, because without Rav, maybe we would have said the Tanna Kamma is saying the case of a wolf specifically in Gaza, but you would have thought a chatul would work by by the small animals. But you can't say that, because v'amr ben yomad by yefes amr b'la, he says, lo'y bar b'yehuda el farsh v'chacham. B'yehuda was not coming to dispute the Tanna Kamma, he was coming to just explain the words of the sages. So we're back to the question, what was the necessity of this teaching of Rav that we don't know already from the Mishnah? So, first answer the Gemara gives is, Gavra, Gava, Karamas? What, you're using one Amor to ask on another Amor from Rabbi Lazar on Rav? Rav holds that Rabbi Yehuda is disagreeing with the Tanna Kamma, and the Tanna Kamma is even talking about that a wolf could make an animal into a drusa, even by a large animal. And that's why we needed the teaching of Rav to say, but any animal smaller than the wolf, even regarding making small livestock into a drusa, would not work. And that we shouldn't think to say that this that we said Ze'ev in the Mishnah was only because of Gasa, but maybe you would have thought Daka, small animals, Chatul would work. That's what you need Rav for. Or Ibai Sema, or the Gemara says, if you want, you could say that La'olam, truthfully, the halacha of our Mishnah is Lemute Chatul. When it's picking a wolf, it's coming to exclude a cat, and that you know already from the Mishnah, even from clawing small animals. Because this that we picked, the wolf itself, was talking about by small livestock, like Rabbi Yaman had said. So, but then what do we need Rav for? Rav was explaining, coming to explain the Mishnah, that no, it specifically picked a wolf. Why? Because Ma'adutim, what would you say, even though it's told Madaka, why did it pick a wolf? It's simply because Orcha de Milsikitani, it's just picking what normally happens. And that's what usually happens. It's a wolf that's usually going to do that. But maybe really, it would even apply if a cat did it. Kamash Malan, that's what we need a Rav to say, that no, a cat will not make it into a drusa. It's only a wolf and bigger, even for small livestock. Now, Amrav Chizda, continuing these halachas, says, drusas chatul, regarding the clawing of a cat, v'nemoya, which is type of a wild animal, and some say it's a marten. So, begedoyim v'tloyim, regarding the really small animals, by a kid goat and a lamb, there, the halacha is that they would make it into a drusa, into a treifa. But Rav Chizda agrees to the halacha of our Mishnah, but regarding regular rams and regular sheep, which are considered daka, the small livestock, but they're not babies, they're normal size, that, of course, like we said in the Mishnah, that would be only a ze'ev and bigger, even for daka. But what Rav Chizda is telling us, but by really small animals, then a cat and this marten could make it into a drusa. And drusas chulda, the clawing of a weasel, ba'ifes, will make a bird into a drusa, into a trefa. However, on this teaching, Rav Chizda meisvei, the Gemara asks from the following brisa. Drusas chatul, neitz, b'nemoya, the clawing of a cat, this neitz bird, and a marten, says the brisa, z'ad shetinokiv l'chol, the clawing will only make the animal into a trefa if it makes a hole going all the way into the innards of the animal, meaning that their claw is no better than a thorn, which is only until it pierces into the intestines, which we have all those intestines that are, they become a trefa by having just a hole. But one thing we see from the fact that the Bryce is considering this chatul and this marten like just a thorn by making the animal a trefa only by making a hole, so the inference is avo drusa leslu, but they don't have the halacha of making the animal into a drusa that was clawed. We see that its poison would not harm the animal. And here we're talking about, even for birds, for sure, regarding even small animals, very small animals like kid goats and lambs, that it's not going to make it into a drusa, which contradicts the teaching of Rav Chizda. And that says the Gemara, but v'tizbra, is your understanding logical? But netz leidaris, one of the cases, you're asking a chatul and a moya on Rav Chizda, but the middle case of netz, that bird, you think that doesn't make an animal into a drusa, but what's not? We learn that Mishnah says with drusas and nates, that the nates does make the victim into a drusa. Oh, that's just the Gemara. No, that's not going to answer the question. Because halakash, that's not difficult. Kan ba'ifas, our Mishnah was talking about, yes, a nets can make the victim into a drusa if it's attacking a bird. Kan b'gdayim b'tlayim, but here in the Bryce is talking about by very small animals, by kid goats and lambs. So, yeah, even the netz bird cannot make it into a drusa. It could just work to the effect of being like a thorn. But mekamakam Rav Chizda kasha, then we're back to the question of Rav Chizda. Even if we're talking about very small animals, he says it shouldn't have to be just like a thorn. He says it can make it into a drusa. So why is it only achatinak of l'chal? Says the Gemara, you're right, this price is difficult on him. But who damaki aitana? He says like a different tana. The tana like learn the price. Beribi Eimer, which either the name of a sage, Beribi, or another interpretation means like the great one, the God Ladar, the great one of the generation, said, Loi Amru Ein Derusa, they didn't say, as we were saying all along, that the Mishnah says only from a wolf and bigger can make a drusa. So he qualifies, says, we didn't say that a, for example, like a cat, cannot make the victim into a drusa. El b'mokam she'im atzilam. That's only if there's no one trying to save the bird or the kid goat from the cat. Then the cat doesn't get so upset, it's just chasing, and therefore even if it takes a swipe at the victim, it's not going to have such venom coming out of it. But in a situation where there are those who are trying to save the victim, then the cat gets very angry, and then he has a very strong venom. And then when he swipes with his claws, with his fingernails, then he really injects the poison. Then, yesh drusa, says Beribi, then there will be a halach of drusa even for a cat. And that's what Rav Chizda was talking about when he said a chatul can make it into a drusa, was talking about when there are those who are trying to save the victim, then it's going to have the halach of make it into a drusa. However, on this halach of Beribi, the Gemara asks, ubamakam shem atzilin ein drusa, but you tell me that when there is no one trying to save the victim, then the cat cannot make the victim into a drusa? But vahi tarna gailis to havi bei Rav Kahana, there was this hen that was by the house of Rav Kahana, derot chatul basra, that a cat was running after it, va'ala idroina, and the hen ran into a room, v'syach dasha bape, and the door slammed in front of the cat, u'machi l'dasha b'sichufe, and the cat swiped at the door with its paw, v'shtakech ala chamisha kurti dam, and they found on it, on the door, 5 drops of blood, which are the five, there was the poison that came out of his 5 fingernails from its claw. So you see that even though there was no one trying to save it, you see that still it had the venom. Says the Gemara, no, Hatzalz Atzmanami. The chicken, the bird itself, when it's saving itself by running away and the door slamming in the cat's face, is also Katzalz Achem Dami. It's also this equivalent of others trying to save it. It's just angry that the victim got away from it in this absolute way, and therefore then it's going to have the venom, and that's why the door had this poison on it. But then the Gemara says, but Rabbanon, those who dispute Beribi, and they say that no, even when there are those who are trying to save the victim, that the cat never has drusa. So what was this venom, what was this poison that they found on the door? So they would tell you, you're right, Ziara Isle, the cat has venom, but Velikoli Zihari, but its venom doesn't burn. It would not cause the animal, the victim, to be a trefa, and therefore it's not difficult from that incident. So that was one interpretation. It could argue that those that say that to resolve Rav Chisda, that actually even in a place where no one's trying to save the victim, still he holds that a cat, as his teaching had been unspecified, that a cat would make the victim into a drusa. Now, our Mishnah that said specifically a wolf and bigger, that's, as we're going to explain later on, is because of Imri Ravavi, because that was talking about large sheep. And Rav Chisda was talking about by very small livestock, which is by a kid goat and a lamb. Now, the Braisa that says that a chatul, a cat, would only be a problem only if it makes a hole, like a thorn, which sounds like that it doesn't have any venom, that says the Gemara, Hamani Beribihi. That Braisa, which was difficult on Rav Chisda, is actually who he does not hold like, is like Beribi. And because that Braisa is talking about when there is no one saving, and that's when Beribi, as we had quoted before, as we'll quote again, holds that then there's no drusa. And actually, the Rabban disagree and to the opposite extreme, and that's who like Rav Chisda is like, not like Beribi. The time like Lunda Braisa. Beribi Aymer, he says, Loi Amru Yesh Drusa. They didn't say that a cat would have the qualification of making an animal poisoned by its clawing. Eleb Mokam Shesh Matzilin. It's the same teaching, but coming from the other way. Only when there are those who are trying to save the victim. Ab Mokam Shesh Matzilin, Ein Drusa. But when there's no one trying to save it, then the cat will not make it into a Drusa. Whereas Rabban hold that no, even in a situation where no one's trying to save, it will be a Drusa. And that's what like Rav Chisda is like, that a Chatul could make it into a Drusa. But again, as we'll explain shortly, our Mishnah says a Chatul can never do it with too much large animals. Now, that is the Gemara on Beribi. Ubamokam Shem Matzilin Ein Drusa, like we said before, what? But when there's no one trying to save it, then there's no Drusa. But Vahi turned the girl to Havi Rav Kahana, this hand that was by the house of Rav Kahana, the Rot Chatul Basra, that a cat ran after it, Va'ale Droin, and then it ran into a room, B'siachid, Dasha Ba'ape, and then the door slammed in the cat's face, Umachil, Dasha B'sechufe, and then it clawed, it swiped its claw, its paw on the door, V'shtakech Elochamisha Kurti Dam, and they found 5 drops of blood on it, meaning from its poison, even though no one's trying to save it, you see it has venom. When it saves itself, it's the same angry like when others are trying to save it, and therefore had the poison on there. Now, the Gemara continues this discussion, which will segue into what we had explained regarding the resolution of Rav Chisda's teaching, the Braisa, and the Halacha of the Mishnah. As we continue to talk about Gimel and Aleph, Yesh Drus Lachatul or Ein Drus Lachatul? Does a cat have the qualification of clawing a victim that it's going to inject the poison to make it into a trefa or not? So Amalei, so he answered him, says, Afla Chulda, what do you mean? Even a weasel, which is smaller than the cat, Yesh Drusa, would make the victim into Drusa, and for sure for a cat. Then they asked him a different time, Yesh Drusa Chulda, or Yen Drusa Chulda? Does a weasel have halacha of making it into Drusa or not? So he said to him, Afla Chatul, what do you mean? Even a cat which is bigger than that, Ein Drusa, can't make the victim into Drusa, and for sure Chulda, which is smaller. Which the Gemara later is going to resolve. He just said the opposite before. And a different time he asked him, L'chatul u'l'chulda, regarding a cat and a weasel, yesh len drusa or ain len drusa? Do they make the victim into a drusa or not? Samalei, and here he differentiated. He said, L'chatul yesh drusa, for a cat it will make it into a drusa, l'chulda ain drusa, for a weasel it won't make it into a drusa. And says the Gemara, v'le kasha, all these three teachings which seem to contradict each other are not difficult. Why? Hada amalei af l'chulda yesh drusa, this that he said in the first time, that even for the weasel, it'll make the victim into a drusa. That's be oifis. That's what we said before. That for oifis, even the weasel can make it into a drusa. And for sure for a cat. This is said that even for a cat, it's not going to make it into a drusa. That's be imri ravavi. That's by large sheep, which, as we said, even by behemoth daka, by small livestock, a chatul, a cat, cannot make it into a drusa, like Rav had said previously, by an animal. That's the Mishnah says, has to be from a wolf and bigger. And ha da amalei lechatul yesh drusa. And this that he told him that for a cat it will be drusa. Lechol de'in drusa, but for a weasel not going to be drusa. That's begedoyim betloim. That's by small, very small livestock, which is kid goats and lambs, which are very small. That's what we said. That was the teaching of Rav Chisda, that then the chatul would make it into a drusa. But for that, even a chulda, even for that, he won't make it into a drusa.